My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going back into the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be starting in chapter 4, and we're going to be starting at 14. Now get your Bibles out and get ready, because this is going to be a Bible study, and we're dealing verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We're going to start again, like I say, at chapter 4, verses 14. It says, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive." You see, verse 13 says we are to come into the unity of faith. We're supposed to believe this gospel that Paul's preached. And when we believe that, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And God is living in us. And so that when it says, henceforth, we no more are children tossed to and fro. We got the Spirit living in us. And we can sit there and we can listen to people. And we can tell, because the Holy Spirit, if they're telling us what's right and what's wrong. We have to be, and we cannot let them, through their cunning craftiness and their lies, to deceive us. We got to be careful. And they're out there everywhere to do that. And so Paul tells us to not be children tossed to and fro, you see, going back and forth. We know what the truth is. And the truth is our salvation is based on the gospel that Christ died for us. He was buried, died for our sins, and he was buried and he raised from the dead. Verse 15, it says, "But speaking in the truth..." What's the truth? Always when he mentions truth, that's the gospel. Speaking in the truth, the gospel of in love may grow up into him in all things, that he that is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the body of Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to efficiently working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, he's talking about people here. He's talking about the body of Christ, and every one of us are different. But we have one common goal, and that's to teach the gospel, to preach the gospel, to tell the gospel. And we're all made up with different talents and everything, using them to the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ by pointing out the gospel. We're totally one person, and we're always going to be. That's what's so wonderful about it. We're all like-minded, and that's what God wants us to be, because we put our trust in what his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, let's look at verses 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." You see, these people... These Gentiles were Gentiles, and they were totally had no idea about God. And of course, when you look at the people around him, they're all, every one of them, you know, they're alienated from the life of God. They never knew God. They could care less about God. And of course, their heart was blinded. There's no doubt about that. And look at verses 19. It says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, or to work all uncleanness with greediness." That's the unbeliever. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Why do we not have to worry about it? Because when we believe the gospel, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and God lives in us. He'll never point you to sin. He's going to point you to a closer walk with him. But like in verse 20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ." See, when you're in Christ, your life is different. You become a whole new creation. Old things are going to pass away, and all things will become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things will pass away. It makes all the difference in the world when God lives in you. In verse 21, it says, "If so be that you have heard of him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." See, the truth is in Jesus. "That you put off concerning the former manner of life." So he's telling these old people to put this off. Totally put it off. The former manner of life. That old man that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Turn back to the left. This is a Bible study. We're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 and get an idea of what he's telling us there. Verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man, this is our sin nature that we have. We're born with it. Every person is born with a sin nature. The day that we're born, we're sinners. See, totally sinners. But when we believe the gospel, we believe that our old man was crucified. That's what it says. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, with him, and that the old body of sin might be destroyed. Thus, henceforth, we should not serve it. So in our meetings, when we believe the gospel, we're believing that when Christ died on that cross, that our old sin nature died on that cross. And when he was buried, that old sin nature is buried. But when he rose the dead, we rose without that old sin nature. And we rose to live Christ-like, see. And those things, those old things, are going to pass away, you see, because we have no need for them anymore. We got Jesus living in us, and like I say, he's never going to point us to sin. That old sin nature, we declare it, passed away. Has it totally gone? Oh, no. We'll still have it, but you see, we won't like it. You see, and if you don't like something, you don't want to be around it. If you don't like something that would ever hinder your walk with the Lord, you're going to walk away from it. It's just like I said before one time, I don't like Brussels sprouts. And no matter if it's on the menu, I'm never going to take it because I don't like it. And that's the way I do now. Sin. I don't like sin. I don't want to have anything to do with sin. I have Jesus living in me, and you will too when you believe that gospel. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. Now let's look here. We were in 4:22. It said that you put off concerning the former manner of life that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See. And that's what it does. God does it. When we believe that gospel, he seals with the Holy Spirit, and our mind is renewed totally. And that you may put on a new man. See, we become a new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that's what we're looking for, see. That's what we're looking for. In verse 25, it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of the... We are numbered one of another. See, we're the things of the old past we don't want to do. And you see, these people they were raised up with, they were all liars. They were all never told the truth. You know, they just never did. There was no reason to it. They did it if whatever benefited them, they'd say whatever it is. They didn't care about lying. I know some people today that are that way. But these people were. There's no doubt about it. And then goes 26, says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You see, we're going to be angry. I'm angry with sin. Anything around me that's sin that makes me mad. I see people that are taking advantage of people. I see politicians lying constantly. I see in our government taking advantage of us and lying to us, and it makes me mad. But I don't have to. I can't hold that anger, because anger, all it does is just ruin you, and it makes you sick, and you can't get away from it. And that's why he said, you can be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger and wrath. Just forget about it. Turn it over to God and ask for him to give you the grace and glory to continue to walk each and every day. And he will. It says, neither give place to the devil. See, that's angry. Anger is devil. And you don't want him in your life. And angry will lead to the devil, because all of a sudden, you just destroy yourself with anger. I know people that have just destroyed their health with anger, and there's nothing they could do about it, you know. But you have to just put it aside. Look, verse 28. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, and things which are as good, that they may have have to give to him that needeth. In other words, we don't steal. We go to work. And if we find people in need, then we have funds to help them, see. But we work for our money. You know, we don't steal. And very likely during that time, stealing was constant. You know, they didn't care about stealing. They stealed all they could. And they just didn't want to get caught. That's all. They weren't mad. They weren't feel bad about stealing. They just didn't want to get caught. That's the way the crooks are today. They're not mad. They don't feel bad about what they did. They just feel bad they got caught. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of the edifying, that is in that it may minister grace unto the hearer." You see, that's what we want to do. We don't want corrupt things coming out of our mouth. We want to edify people by telling them about the gospel, to show them love, show them concern. And just being a good neighbor, see? Be a good neighbor. If we're a good neighbor, we'll have good neighbors. And we always want to point the gospel to them. Let's look at verses 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, we saw that in Ephesians 1:13. Or 14, he says. We'll just turn there. I never can get tired of looking at that. It says, "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth," Ephesians 1:13, the gospel of your salvation, whom after you believed what happened, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, as soon as you believed the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what we have to do, you know. Now let's look at verses 31. It said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes has forgiven you." I know people that have been really wronged, and the person who did it to them, they can't forgive them. They're so mad at them that it eats their life away. Now the guy that did something wrong to him, he could care less, see. But his wrong has just totally eaten up a friend of mine, and he can't forgive him. And that's when he just is not used for anybody. And not only that, it's hurting his health. But you see, we've got to forgive people, even though they don't deserve forgiving. We forgive them. Why? For Christ's sakes. Because Christ has forgiven you. He's forgiven each and every one of us of every sin that we've ever committed. Think about that. He's made it possible that we can have eternal life. He did. He did. He paid for every sin that you've ever committed or will commit. And His precious blood has covered that sin. And when God looks at you, He sees a perfect man. Now, how wonderful is that? And so if God is going to forgive you, we need to be sure that we forgive others. And it doesn't make any difference how bad they were to you. You've got to forgive them because God forgave you. And God would forgive them if they had come to the knowledge of the truth. With the knowledge of your truth, the gospel. Now we're going to start on chapter 5. Chapter 5 in Ephesians. Now we're going to find, from now on, we're going to find how He deals with people. And how we should live. This last part of 4 has also. 5 and 6 are going to be how we deal with our families, how we deal with our wives, how we deal with each other. And it's really because He does this. Because you see, these Ephesians, they didn't have a clue. They had no guidelines how to live. Most of this stuff we already know because we were raised with it. But those people, they didn't have a clue how to live. Because they lived totally different than we do. They had no God. They did not know God. They had no morals. They didn't have morals. They just was totally turned back on anything that we believe today. And so in order for them to understand what a godly person is, he had to write this down to show them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So that's what it's pretty much. There's not a whole lot of comparing scripture to scripture. These are just facts. But that's okay. We're going over them. Chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." He's telling them to follow the Lord as children. "Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling favor." In other words, he actually died on that cross and gave his life on that cross to pay for our sins. And then he talks about things that we shouldn't do. In verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as becometh saints." And when we're saints, we don't want to sin. And these things are sin, and they got to know what sin is, see? "Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks to God," see? We're giving thanks. We don't get involved in filthiness and foolishness and jesting and things that aren't godly. We just don't want to do it. "For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous person who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God." Now, you got to think about that a second. These people he's talking to are believers. These people are saved. It didn't say that they're not going to go to heaven. It said that they wouldn't have any inheritance. You see, we have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. See, God, Christ has paid the sin debt for us. But if we continue to sin, you know, we're losing our inheritance in heaven, see. And these people were already saved. These are saved people. He's not talking to unsaved people. And so that shows them that how important it is that they walk the way God wants us to walk, because there is some loss in it. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you can lose your inheritance in heaven. And you're still going to be happy in heaven, but you're going to see where you've lost an awful lot because of the way you lived on this earth after you were saved. But you see, when Christ lives in you, he's going to keep you on the right road so that you don't lose your inheritance. Because he's going to do it, see. He's going to do it. But these are the guidelines that you don't want to get messed up with, see. Verse 6, it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." See, there's people going to come to you and try to deceive you. Oh man, they've done already did it. Satan is out there. He got his ministers out there. He got his ministers in the pulpit. He got his ministers in the seminaries. He got his ministers everywhere he can to deceive you, to point you away from the gospel. Because he wants you to go to hell. That's all the truth is. He wants everybody to go to hell. And when you believe the gospel, you don't go to hell, see. You go to be with the Lord for eternity. "For you were once in darkness." See, he's talking about these Ephesians. They were once in darkness. He's also talking about us also. We were once in darkness, but now you're in light in the Lord. And walk as children of light. We're to walk as God wants us to. And he's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. He's in us. See? "For the fruit of the Spirit." See, the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. You see, that's what we are. When we have that Holy Spirit in us, we don't want to have anything to do with sin. "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of the darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame for them to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light," see, "and whatever doth not make manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake thou, and sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." See, God knows everything. He knows everything about us. I'm going to have you just turn right here let's see. It's go back to Psalms. And just before Psalms, open your Bible right in the center of the Bible, Psalms. And the first book just before Psalms is Job. And the last book of Job, last chapter in Job, is 42. And look at verse 42. It says, Job chapter 42, verse 1. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee." No thought can be withheld from thee. Think about that. You see, there's no thought that can be withheld from us whatsoever, from God. And so He knows our thoughts. He knows everything that we do. And He has that light, those penetrating eyes. He knows. And we know that He knows. And we don't care, because we're going to follow Him. We're not going to follow the world. We're going to follow that Holy Spirit that's in us. And He will guide and direct us closer to Him every day. And He will. He will do it. There's no doubt about that. Okay, let's look at verses 16. It says, "Redeeming the time, because of the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise in understanding what the will of the Lord is." See, that's what we're looking at this book for, to show what we should do and how we should live. It's verses 18, "And be not drunk with wine, with its excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." See, that's the important thing, is that the Spirit, you follow the Spirit that's in you, that Christ that lives in you, speaking to yourself in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think God's body thinks more than anything else of thankfulness. When you start looking around and see everything that God has done for you, we need to be thankful in everything that we see. I can drive down the road and just see the wonderful day, and I can say, "Thank you, Father. This is a beautiful day. You know, thank you for these trees and this beautiful lake I'm sitting by looking at right now. It's been blessed me greatly. I have a beautiful lake that I can sit, and I just thank Him constantly. And I like to fish, too, and I do that. And God has provided this for me. And I just thank Him constantly for what He's done for me." Verses 21, it says, "Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God." We don't mean we fear God. What He means by that is that, because that's what God wants us to do. And we have tremendous respect for Him. You see, but now we don't have to fear God, because the wrath of God is not on us. But we have that tremendous respect for Him, knowing what He can do. But we are covered. God has made us perfect in His eyes. And that's just hard to comprehend. Now it's going to talk about how we deal with our families, in our family, in our relationships. Verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord." Well, that's pretty basic. You know, it's what it says. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be also to their own husbands in everything." In everything. And that's the way we have a wonderful marriage, when the wives do this. But look what He tells the husbands to do. "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for it." You see, we have a love so much for our wives, they will want to submit to us. They will want to submit, because we have nothing but the good for them as far as we're concerned. We love them just as Christ loved the church. How in the world could a marriage with both people doing what God told them to do in this Bible can have a wonderful marriage? It's just fantastic. "That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word." I mean, you cleanse yourself by just getting the Word and seeing what God tells you to do. And you see it, and you do it. "That He might present it to Himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any other thing, such things, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hath hated his own flesh, nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord of the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, His flesh, and of His bones." See, we're His body. and were of his flesh and his bones. And for this cause shall man leave his wife and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, we become one body. See, we're one body. We're his body, and he's the head of this church. Nevertheless, let every one of them in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. She reverence her husband. How wonderful. You know, if everybody, man and woman, would just read this and see this, and there wouldn't be no divorces. Because, you see, we'd have so much love for each other that there's no way that we couldn't live, have a wonderful life together because of that deep love that we have for each other. I think we're going to stop right here. We got one more chapter to do, but we can't do it in this time, and we'll start on it next time. But these are just wonderful, wonderful things that we need to go over these things every once in a while, just to be able to, so that we can have a better walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for everything that you do for us. And we pray that you just give us strength and the courage and the wisdom to follow you and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and that we'd follow the Holy Spirit in our life, and we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we'd all come to the gospel for our salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.